want to say thank you. Where's Logan? Logan, thank you for reading God's Word to us this morning.
Amen.
Charity and I are excited to be with you. We love you, and we've always loved you, and nothing will ever change that, whether we come to work here or not. I want to remind you this is a worship service. Don't be thinking about me and whether I'm coming here or not. That's not important. Right now we're in an hour of worship. We've got to look to God. I want to point you to God. That's my sole purpose. It's all about God, folks. It's not about me and it's not about you, but it's about God. I want to thank those that have lodged us and fed us. Thank you again for feeding us. That's important. Jay called me this week and he said, hey, you're going to be preaching and I'm going to be leading songs. What are you preaching about? Jay, I appreciate that because you, there you are. You did a song, We Place You on the Highest Place. And brother, that was really kind of about where I was headed. Hello, PowerPoint. I've never done PowerPoint before. Oh, we got a substitute.
Yeah, we got a substitute.
I was excited about having another remote control to push. That's the only thing exciting about PowerPoint, I'm here to tell you. My kids had to show me how to put that stuff together. I see another familiar face back there, Linda Brand. It's good to see you. So it took me about 12 hours to make this little slide presentation. And I had a nightmare. I'm not kidding. I'm not lying. Humor is good, but hey, I had a nightmare. That I got up here, and you know, preaching is difficult enough. Anyone who preaches knows that I've got to be trying to read your face to see if you understand what I'm talking about so I know if I need to put in reverse or something, you know what I'm saying? And I watch my wife for her face to go. And then I know I've really messed up. I'm watching the time clock. I'm trying to keep up with my notes. And now I've got a screen over here to look at. What if the power goes out? The rest of my dream was, you remember Al, the blind guy that comes once in a while? I dreamed he showed up and I was like, oh no, now I have to paint a verbal picture of what's on the screen. So y'all be saying a silent prayer because it's all about glorifying God. This idea of forever change. A few years ago, I had an amazing thing happen in my life. As I was thinking about this song that Jay was singing, leading us in, We Place You on the Highest Place. I sat in church one Sunday, and I thought, well, do you place, I'm out talking to myself, do you really place Jesus on the highest place? I'm sitting here singing it. Is that what I feel? Is that what I'm really committed to? God broke my toe the next day. Ward says God ran over him with a car. God broke my toe, laid me up for 4 months, and I just jumped into God's Word for 4 months. Read the whole Bible, outlined the Bible, took devotional notes, spent nights in prayer from the time I went to bed till the sun rose the next morning. I went off by myself and I thought about God. I was reading His Word every day. I was praying. I was thinking about Him. I was looking at my life. And you know what? I come to the conclusion, I needed to take some change about myself. I needed to make some change in my life. I needed to be in a relationship with God. It's not enough, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to get to preaching now. It's not enough to know God and the Word that He says, but you got to live it. You got to act on it. You got to have a relationship with God. If you just got nothing but the Word of God and you're just reading it and it's two-dimensional, it's nothing in your life till you act on it, till it becomes ingrained in the fibers of your soul, till you search God out, till you seek Him out, till you settle for nothing less than His love in your life, till you let it affect who you are. And you know what I decided? I was going to make some changes in my life. September the 11th, 2001. It was an ordinary day. We woke up. We brushed our teeth. Some of us flossed, some of us didn't. We ate our cereal. We went to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning or so, I think that's about what time it was, I got to work. And I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm working on Sunday's sermon. I'm thinking about God and the phone rings and I pick it up and it's Tony, my sister. Tony says, Dan, disaster, chaos, explosion, World Trade Centers. What are you talking about? TV. You got to go to the TV. Okay, I'm going. But I went out and I got in my car, zoom up to the preacher's house, run into the living room, and I'm going in there, and I hear them talking on the TV about a plane running into the World Trade Centers. And as I turned the corner, I saw this. You were there, weren't you? You saw these things. One airplane had already struck the first trade center. And as I rounded the corner, I saw a commercial airline heading for the other trade center that's behind the one that you see. And it dawned on me, this ain't no accident. Maybe the first one was, but the odds of that happening twice in a row are somewhere between zip and impossible. Where were you at that day? I bet you remember. How did it make you feel? I'll tell you how it made me feel. It made me feel sad because I knew that there were a lot of people in those buildings. It made me sad because I knew that there were a lot of people were on those airplanes. Did they know God? Did they not know God? I didn't know. And it made me feel angry. I began to think about that as I saw these things come up on the screen, on my television, and I wasn't quite sure how to take it all in. As we watched on, we saw the World Trade Center's collapse all the way to the ground. And we realized in that moment that our world would never be the same. That we were all somehow changed. That disaster had landed on our shores. And you know what went through my mind? I just thought, is this God? Is this the hand of God disciplining us? Because you know what? God disciplines those whom He loves, Hebrews. I ask these questions to myself, and I come up short on some answers. But as I listened on, the TV was now talking about the Pentagon. And my mind is going in circles. Yours was too. You remember the day. What about the Pentagon? What are you talking about? The Pentagon is the safest place on planet Earth. It's the most secure. It's the most fortified. This place here, that's where our generals meet. Our admirals and vice admirals and rear admirals and sideways admirals and whatever. They gather at this place and they communicate with each other. And nobody would ever do anything to the Pentagon because it was the safest place on earth, right? And we saw pictures like these. Another airplane had struck the Pentagon. What were you feeling about that time? I'm not quite for sure what I felt at that moment. But that morning, Flight 93 had taken off, and it was about like any other flight, running a few minutes late, last minute luggage being put on, the departments or whatever those compartments are above your head, you know, putting stuff in there and getting everybody set down and getting the kids organized, getting your briefcase over to a side and getting ready. On that flight, there were men, there were women, and there were children. There were people traveling for vacation, there were people traveling for business, and there were some people that were just headed home. This flight took off, and once it got in the air, hijackers were on that thing too. Terrorists were on this airplane too. But there were four men on this airplane. Todd Beamer, Mark Bingham, Jeremy Glick, and Tom Burnett. These people made the news. You know these names. These guys ended up talking to their family on cell phones. Cell phones are good for something, contrary to my belief. They were talking to their families, and they found out, they discovered the idea that they had become a suicide mission. And there, in that moment, on that day, these men had to ask themselves a question. They had to ask themselves, what do I believe in? What's the most important thing in my life? And just how committed am I to it? Questions that we ought to be asking ourselves, huh? You bet. They asked themselves these questions, but they stood at a crossroad of their lives. You know what, folks? We all need to get at this crossroad. You know how many people ever reach this crossroad? Slim to few. We live out our lives in the common, ordinary day before any accident. We're soaping up our hair and all this. I got out of the shower this morning. I'm drying my hair off and I forgot to wash the conditioner out of my hair. It's just another day. But these folks, they reached a crossroad to where they had to ask themselves what was important. And I thank God that they did that to allow me an illustration before I get into my sermon this morning. Well, how committed were they? They believed in what they did. They realized that there's more to this life than just themselves. They got outside of themselves and they found a higher purpose. God did not make us people to be a people of ourselves. He made us to be a people who would point other people to the Lord. And I've failed in my preaching this morning. If you're not looking at the Lord, I want you looking at the Lord, because it's Him who provides salvation for your soul, not me. On this airplane flight, there was brothers, sisters left abandoned. There were women that were made widows. There were children that were made orphans. There were friends that would not see their friend anymore. And these people acted with an incredible sense. And I'm going to give you the word in which my whole sermon is about. It says up there, I mentioned it earlier, there was a word that changed my life in my opening statement. That's it. Passion. We get to live in our lives in complacency. In the ordinary. But God calls us to passion. If you forget anything this morning, I want you to take this word home with you. God calls us to be a passionate people. What if God could find a few Christians with a real passion of heart? Would that kind of passion change our world? This is the part where you go like this. I want to make sure you're there. maybe it's time for some spiritual passion in our lives. We are children of a king. We're not ordinary. We're certainly not average. We are created in the image of God, as Ward mentioned in his prayer. And we are more than conquerors. Amen. I've got to change my page each time too, because it's telling me what's up there. And it's got my notes on it. Spiritual passion can change us forever. So the question as we get into our sermon this morning is this: how do we find this kind of passion in our lives? Glad you asked. Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. Mark chapter 10, we see the story which you're familiar with. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17, of the rich young ruler. And Jesus tells this story, and he ends this story talking about the difficulty of a rich person and his focusing on the Lord and getting to heaven. But I'm going to use this story to ask some other questions. First of all, we'll start in chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, and he fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know what? He kind of found himself in the same place that I found myself. I found myself in the circumstance where I said, "What's missing here? How can I develop a deep relationship with God?" And this young guy comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life?" But it says that he fell down on his knees. He did the first step inadvertently. He humbled himself before the Lord. And folks, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, that's the first step in any relationship with God. He humbled himself before the Lord and he said, "How can I get or obtain eternal life?" What a question. He looked inside of himself, something that we don't take the time or effort to do, because let me tell you what, it's not easy. I don't always like what I see in myself. And unfortunately, I have to tell you about myself and my sermons to make illustrations. I need your stories. I need to look into my life. I need to get down on my knees before God and say, "What's missing here?" "Oh no, I feel okay. My walk with the Lord's okay." That ought to be the first clue that you're in a bad spot. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Humble yourself at the foot of Jesus and ask God, "What's missing in my life? How can I get a deeper relationship with God? How can I develop a passion of heart that will affect this world, that will get this world, the people right outside those doors in that house right across the street, how can I get them to look to Jesus? Because Jesus is the only place that salvation is found." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "There's no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved." None! How can we develop the passion of heart of Jesus where you want to grab someone and say, "Come with me and let me show you the Lord"? Passion of heart. Oh my, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24, James talks about the Word of God being a mirror in which we look into the mirror and we make adjustments. There's a guy that I work with named Mike. Mike is all the time taking that to heart. He's in front of the mirror in the bathroom every time I go in there, combing his hair. We work in a power plant. You know? But you know what? We do that spiritually or we don't do that spiritually. God calls us every day to get up and to look in the mirror and check out our spiritual souls. What is it that's driving me? Is it a passion for myself? Is it a passion for something I enjoy doing? Power tools? I don't care about my power tools anymore. I'm sorry. Russ said he was going to just not talk to me anymore. Find out what's important to you. Get to the crossroads in your life and ask some questions of importance that'll help you to be more than just an ordinary person. Because, brother and sister in Christ, you're not ordinary. You're children of God. See the sign up here? You are standing before the people of God. I taped that up there 5 years ago or so to remind me of where my spot was. You're the people of God. Get that passion in your heart that would drive you toward God's plan and God's purpose in your life. Whew, I gotta slow down. I'm not gonna make it. Point number two. Chapter 10, verse 18 to 20. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone." He says, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor." Hey, I want my boys to listen. Honor your father and mother. It's a good thing. He says to him, "Listen, rich young ruler. Listen to me now. You know that keeping the law is important." Ward in his prayer mentioned John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Jesus says, man, if you want to get to heaven, number one, you need to keep the commandments of God. You need to be looking at the commands. You need to be searching them out. And I think about Deuteronomy chapter 7 and chapter 11. You can find it. The covenant of blessings and cursings. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Oh, the covenant of blessing and curse. Here comes the children of Israel. They had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, partly because they forgot about their passion for God. Make any sense, you know? Here they come across the River Jordan. They're coming into the Promised Land, and they pass, I don't remember in what order, they pass Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And up on top of Mount Gerizim, prophets of God were placed up there, and here comes a million or so of whatever, how many ever people of Israel, they're coming into God's promise. And here are these prophets standing up on top of Mount Gerizim, and they're shouting, "Obey God! Obey God and He will bless you! Obey God and He will bless your work that you're involved in. He'll bless your crops. He'll bless your children. Bless your life. Bless your world. You got a whole lot of blessing going on if you be obedient to me." And children of Israel are going, wow. But they move along, and here's Mount Ebal. Different group of prophets. I'll walk over here so you can get the point. Walking helps my toe too. Here on Mount Ebal, the prophets are standing up here and they say this, "Hey Israel, if you're not obedient to God, He's going to curse the ground you walk on. You'll be cursed when you get up in the morning. You'll be cursed when you go to lunch, dinner, supper, breakfast. And God will make your life miserable if you do not obey what He's telling you." Children of Israel going, wow, those things are important. Obedience to God that Ward was praying about is so important for us to come to a good relationship with God, to draw that passion of heart. We got to be in God's Word, studying God's Word, and letting God's Word affect our lives. Let it take root. Let those little roots get out there and envelop you and become who you are. The Word of God is where we must turn. I got some other notes, but I got to pass them. We got to finish sometime. Third point, it's a scriptural lesson. It has 3 points. Did you notice that? That's to get you to laugh. Got to take a breather. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Why did Jesus look at him and love him? Because he just told him he was being obedient. Did I read that for him? Oh, I don't know if I did a while ago. He declared in verse 20, "Teacher, I've kept all these commandments since I was a boy." I think I forgot to read that. He said, I've kept the commands of the Lord. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. You've kept the commands. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Jesus looked at him and loved him, but he didn't stop there. One thing you lack, he says in verse 21. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. He had just spoken to the rich young ruler about the necessity of being obedient to God's word. And now he says, there's something you lack. Well, if I'm obedient to God's word, what could I lack? The passion of heart that it would take to sell all your precious things and make God precious. We lack that sometimes, brothers and sisters. If you don't, great. I do sometimes. I get to lacking that. He says, man, jump on some passion of heart. And the rich young ruler, the text goes on to say, that he went away with his face fallen. He wasn't willing to give it up for the Lord. And I think to myself, should I sing this song? I place you on the highest place. I take that song serious. I try to examine my heart to see if I'm placing God on the highest place. If I'm digging down in my heart and I'm reaching for that passion that only Jesus can show us. I've been all over the internet for these pictures. I picked that one because it's at the foot of the cross that we are humbled to the point of coming to a decision in our life. You can't find the passion that God intended for you outside of Jesus Christ. You look to Him and you see Him hanging on the cross. You see the sacrifice that He made for the sins of the world. And you know what? You understand the passion that God has intended for us to have. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And when we get into that, we will reach a point in our lives where we say, I've got to have that relationship with God. I've got to dig deeper. I'm not going to settle for another ordinary day in my life. Christians, don't have another ordinary day. I beg you before the Lord, you're not ordinary. You're made in the image of God. And this community, this world, will not know God if you do not draw on the passion of heart that you were built for. You were not built to run on coal, oil. This one hurts me, but Burger King, Whoppers. You were made to run on passion for God. You have an option this morning, an option that will lead you to a decision. Every one of you will make it whether or not you want to or not. The only way you're not going to make a decision this morning is if you haven't listened to the sermon. You will decide to leave here the same person that you came, or you will decide to seek God in a deeper faith. You don't have to come down front to do that. You may want to. But I encourage every person here to seek God. Don't have another ordinary day. Come before the Lord and let Him take care of you. And then you take Him out to a lost and a dying world. Oh, you get the whole computer now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. If this is something you need this morning, if there's a way this church can help you, I would beg all of you to take the same trip I took out in the wilderness where God touched my heart and where I became wrong place. That's supposed to have been forever changed. We got a song though. If you have a decision to make this morning, if we can help you in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?